Omanulani Alulimayer Ko'uinua. I'm an international indigenous scholar practitioner. But when we speak of the kapu aloha, kapu in this instance means reverence, to have reverence for aloha. So it's kind of like it's a term that helps us teach ourselves again to be aware, conscious, self-reflective of the efficacy of aloha and therefore the action of aloha. But it's a discipline. It's a discipline. So when people are putting us in, you know, in cuffs, you breathe and it's you love them because they're doing their job, you're doing your job. Aloha is about, the kapu aloha is about not feeling negative about any forms of science, any forms of what they're trying to do there. We're trying to keep the movement at that place of mana. And because aloha for us and the commitment to the love of land holds the mana of our place, and it does have expressions. You can't be angry in a negative way. You have to channel that anger into productive means. That's a discipline. So what does it look like? It looks like clear, passionate articulation of the centrality of aloha and how that, and the care of land, the care of water shed, the care of our relationships to that must play, again, a central role. So take down the telescopes that are not being used. You know, let's be clear about this. Take down the opala. Remove the trash before we build another. So we're just asking for a normal relationship to land. And if people put something up there, take it down when you paw. Oyevaleno. That we want more consciousness of how we approach care for our aina and for our mauna. I want a more meaningful relationship, not a rubber stamp of, you know, just go up there and do whatever the university wants. It's a more care, more understanding of the impact of industrial growth and sewage seepage and technical and chemical seepage. This is holy high lands, beloved watershed. And they're saying this, and we know there's seepage. You know, friends walk up there and we can smell it from miles down. So there's little maturity around really looking at the impact that this type of industry has and the quantity of it has in our pristine places that are sacred. So we had to focus on an enduring idea because it's time to bring out the true essence of our people, and that is aloha. But we have to return to the reverence of that and the respect of its mana. So the kapu aloha is about returning to that reverence of aloha. Active resistance through love. The consistency of that has been proven over and over throughout the world in many world conflicts. Here is another one. This conflict now has a different tenor because it involves the predictable polemics of, you know, native and other money, science, and indigenous. So the players have expanded, the ideas have been drawn as polar. We are not against science. On the contrary, We are not against effective development. What we are focusing on is the care and the awareness of aloha aina, the care of land, because these are our final places of sacredness, especially in Hawaii. And ahimsa has been a synonym for the kapu aloha, and it's given us much strength to continue to love and to bring that affection, that deep, compassionate, mature knowing that this is not going away. We are steady, and we are helping each other be steadied through this cacophony of misunderstandings. But like I have said in a couple of times, it is a predictable clashing of cosmologies. But as the heat of Honolulu heats us up more and more, we are all more aware of the changing environment and the changing landscape of the world. So global awareness of the changes that are here, we must be made more aware. And so the Kapu Aloha puts this movement into clarity, into focus, into a discipline that carries out beyond the kuka, the problem. This is not simply a mountain thing. This is how we behave to each other. We're taking, when I sign my letters, I say, kuki a mauna malokune. It means, let our mountains inspire us inwardly. That's what a kapu aloha is for me. This is a practice that we've brought into public now. And I think that the kapu aloha is the energetic field that will bring what is perceived as a dual thinking system into wholeness. It's the only thing. It's like, we'll listen. They will listen. You know, I know we are at the table. We will be at the table. But there must be compromises on both sides, because that's the duality erasing its hard edges and finding what is inevitable, which is wholeness. And that's what aloha brings us to. Nothing else does. And so I can't speak for anyone, but I do know that wholeness is our pono. And perceived polemics will be erased or made whole through our consistent development of our own compassion.
Sure. My name is Luana Palapala Busby Neff. I'm the eldest daughter of a family of nine, raised most of my life, pretty much all of my youth, on Molokai. Also raised in a movement, the Aloha Aina movement, for many years with the Pateka Ho'olawe Ohana. So I've been involved for years.
Have you ever seen a kapu aloha at work along the way? Have there been threads of it along the way all these years?
All the way. Yeah. It's been all about that, for 30 years. It's been a practice. And a practice meaning that there is a mindfulness that is expected of you to hold when you're doing some really hard work. Work that has to deal with land that's been obliterated, desecrated, bombed. You know, and so it's been a practice that was given. So when you're doing ceremony or when you're doing ritual, you have to put yourself into a focus. And the kapu aloha, which is a mindfulness around that focus, is a practice and a training and an absolute must. It's a practice and it's a simple mindfulness of how you move. And so kapu aloha for me always begins with that. I jump into the ocean, clean out your thoughts in your head, and you know, and then a simple acknowledgement of your space and your place that's around you. You know, that connectivity is so important because it's really, really asking permission to enter realms that there is fear or doubt or vulnerability, or you know, hostile environment,
yeah.
and how to set yourself where you can find the strength and the perseverance and the uprightness to move through it, you know. But you find that space, that deep center and that balance and that stillness, you draw from that. There's a voice that comes through that allows you to see a path through extreme adversity. So up in Mauna Kea, before you go into the place where you're going to get arrested or you're going to meet with, you know, officers who are there to do their job, you know, you really have to put out that, create a pale. You know, you have to have that circle of prayer and pale and commitment so that people, you know, find something to hold on to. So you create that in the space. That's where the mindfulness starts. You start with a pikai, you know, and a mo'olelo to encourage, you know, acting in good stead, to encourage your highest being to come forward, you know, and people get it. People want to go there.
They do know.
You know, at the same time, they need leadership that
Is that what's actually been going on up there?
Well, you know what? That's exactly what's been going on up there, and it is through deep compassion and love and commitment for what it is that you are doing that changes everything. It helps you understand and have more love for even that which looks like adversity. So what's been happening up there is a deep recognition that we are in a system that really creates reaction rather than respond in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, but as a people and as coming from a lineage that actually has the wisdom and the knowledge that puts things like that in the forefront, you have a different outcome. You know, because the response is global. It's not just a Hawaiian thing being up on Mauna Kea. That's everywhere. You see strife everywhere. And yet we have been shaped by an environment and a place that is all about aloha. You know, Manu and I always talk about, the one thing that I always talk about is about Auntie Alona A'i and her things. You know, aloha is the wisdom in which you meet life.
Yeah.
You know, and you really think and breathe that in, what does that mean?
Yeah.
That means, you know, you have a deep understanding and knowing of your connection to a place. You have a deep knowing and understanding that there is an intelligence beyond ourselves that works amongst us. You have an understanding of who you are, where you come from, and your sense of how to be of service to continue the health and well-being of your family, of your community, of your land. We have this deeply ingrained in us as Hawaii, you know, and I'm not talking just about Hawaiians. We have that, so yes, but Hawaii itself, our environment and the elemental forces that surround us on a daily level are kind and gracious and good and beautiful, you know, and so you allow a certain scene to come through if we can put certain things down.
How do you get people to open up to a different cosmology?
Yeah. Go outside.
Go out.
Go into the natural world. Go and hug a tree. Go and sit on, you know, go sit on a knoll. Go and enter
go
a forest.
Yeah.
Go and listen to the ocean. Go and connect with what is all around you. And there you see a living intelligence everywhere. You know, we view the world as in consumerist terms that exploit, that take, that desecrate. We don't see that there is a living spirit in all things. You know, there's an unbelievable intelligence in just how the cyclical nature of how life works. Nature is a big part of that. Go outside. You know, go outside, go sit down, go jump in the water, go catch worms, go do what you need to do to have an appreciation, to look around, and what is there and available for you is immense.
Yeah. It's not polar. We are not in this. to develop a type of tension, but to actually bring us to clarity on what we all must begin to prioritize because of the needs of our time. And the kapu aloha for us is a vehicle to get us back to that priority.
You know, and it's so interesting because the place demands that kind of focus and that kind of clarity and that kind of practice. Because it is in a place that we consider sacred grounds, to be and act in your highest form is a must. There's nothing less than that to be. Kapu aloha really, really allows you to go into the practice of that mindfulness, you know, in a really hard condition. We're going, well, what is this kapu aloha? And they see that it really is just a kuleana and how you relate to a place and how that reverence comes into every form, to every action, to every person, to everything that you do and say, you know. And it is a challenge, you know, because we have forgotten how to be that way.
Yep.
We do this for the love of, not for the defiance, not for the defense of, but for the absolute love of the place that you come from. And it's energy. When you do it in that way, what responds to you back is that. When you give love, when you give that aloha, when you acknowledge that aloha that's always been there, it really acknowledges you. You know, and it is the foundation which people are beginning to remember again, because it is something that's tapped into your DNA. That, and it's so much simpler, you know, and it's less of a burden. You can actually take great joy and pride, you know, in what it is that you're doing. You can actually influence, you know, really expand your spheres of influence of bringing people in who understand what that love means, what that aloha is, and want to participate, and who begin to be inspired by what gives us life here. And so it's a memory that, you know, we forget these things and the dailiness of the trappings of our lives in a system, a capitalist system. And this is, and I feel, on the rise. I think it is a kuleana that our people are seeing just kind of catching fire right now, because it's already there. And once you see it and you understand it, then you want to participate in that with the joy and the love and the kia'i that comes with that love. You know, so in that there is compassion, in that there is deep forgiveness, but in that there is also a firmness of being. You know, to deny something that is not right, you know, to stand in courage and to release the fear of what needs to happen. You know, so you do it, it's in that sphere of being.
Well, that is just beautiful. That is the makana of today, Luana. That's clear and that's inspiring. I am changed by that. Because it really is. We take that off the mountain, through the mountain, and into our days. And that's why this is a long-term commitment to transformation that our mountains inspire in us. And I believe that's why this movement is becoming a world-recognized one. Not because of the physical nature of a mountain, because of the spiritual nature of our commitment to love. Why not, eh?
That's how it's changing us. Thank you so much for trusting me with this, with your words, both of you. Thank you.
Aloha vau, ia oe, pile aloha.